Week 6. A bump in the road. Saturday morning, Ed, Amy, Pete, and Jenny head to the gym and meet in the lobby, waiting for Joe to arrive. Joe, who lives off campus, walks through the door full of energy and asks, "What are we doing today?" Amy suggests, "I really want to dive and swim laps, but if you guys want to lift weights, that's okay." Joe tells the group, "I have my swimsuit. I can join you." Pete suggests, "Let's do that. We hit the weights really hard last week. Some cross training will be good." Joe, put through a few grueling workouts by Pete last week, is glad to hear Pete's suggestion. Pete, however, will not let Joe slack off while he is swimming laps. The group heads to the lockers and will meet each other at the pool. Joe walks into the natatorium, seeing Amy already on the diving board. Amy makes her approach and does a triple somersault with a perfect entry off the high board. Joe comments to Ed and Pete, "Wow. That was really good. I'm really impressed." Ed tells Joe, "Amy has been diving for years. She's a way better diver than she thinks she is." Truth is, Amy is a far better diver than anyone on the diving team. And Coach McRae knows it. Amy walks over, joking, "It's about time you guys got here. Jenny is almost finished with her laps. And I was thinking it's almost time to go." Ed tells Amy, "It sounds like you're getting better already." Amy replies, "I'm counting down the minutes to lunch, when I'll get to take my supplements." Quite surprised about Amy's diving ability, Joe tells Amy, "That was a really good dive. I had no idea you were that good. Ed told me just a minute ago that you've been diving for years. Setting goals and meeting them also raises dopamine levels. Diving probably helped you out a little bit too." Amy replies, "Really? Wow. Now I know how I like diving, the beach, and laying in the sun so much." Joe informs Amy, "You're doing what your genetics programmed you to do." Ed and Amy head to the diving boards together, and Pete and Joe head over to join Jenny in the lanes. Halfway through their diving session, as Amy gets out of the water, Ed sees a potential problem. Instead of preparing for his next dive, Ed waits for Amy at the ladder to the high board. Walking up, Amy asks, "What's up?" Ed whispers to Amy, "Look who just walked in." Amy glances over to the locker room entrance, seeing Dana in a swimsuit, apparently waiting for someone. Amy whispers to Ed, "Jenny was right. Dana's a stalker." Amy then jokingly tells Ed, "And take a look at that. There's a wine glass sitting at the end of Jenny's lane." Ed laughs and whispers to Amy, "Don't look now, but the alcohol police just walked in. It is anybody's guess why Rodney is at the pool today." Amy suggests to Ed, "Let's do a synchronized 2.5 with one twist off the high boards, just so the alcohol police don't think we're drunk." Ed laughs and tells Amy, "That's a great idea. But let's wait for them to look at us." Ed climbs the ladder to one high board. In perfect sync, Amy climbs the ladder to the other high board. Amy looks over at Ed, telling him, "They are watching us." Ed replies, "Good," and asks Amy, "Are you ready?" Amy replies, "Yeah." Verifying the number of bounces that they will take on the board, Ed asks Amy, "On 3. Amy replies, "Got it." Amy tells Ed, "You lead. I'll follow." Amy watches Ed and in perfect sync, Ed and Amy make their approach. Both taking one check bounce, followed by two bounces on the board, Ed and Amy leave the board simultaneously, executing a 2.5 somersault dive with one twist in the pike position. Also in perfect sync, after perfectly entering the water, Ed and Amy swim to the pool's edge. Getting out of the pool, Ed gives Amy a high five. Quite impressed with what he just saw, the lifeguard even gives Ed and Amy a thumbs up. Walking over to the diving boards together for their next dive, Amy whispers to Ed, "Oh crap. They are headed this way." Ed whispers back, good. Let's mess with them. Ed climbs the ladder to the high board as Amy waits for him to complete his next dive. Rodney and Dana watch Ed as he makes his approach and executes his next dive. Amy overhears Rodney whispering to Dana, that's not too hard. As Ed gets out of the pool, Amy climbs the ladder, hearing Dana and Rodney's whispering to each other. Amy completes her next dive. Seeing Dana climbing the ladder to the high board before Amy has surfaced, Ed advises Dana, wait until she's out of the water before you climb the ladder. Rodney sarcastically asks Ed, what are you? The lifeguard or something? Ed replies, no, junior. Before you climb the ladder to the high board, you want to make sure the pool is clear. Rodney, apparently with an attitude today, rolls his eyes. But Ed would be correct. From the high board, you cannot easily see someone in the water directly below the diving board. Executing a dive and unexpectedly landing on top of someone in the water never ends very well. Dana, making her approach, does a reasonably executed swan dive into the water. Taking Ed's advice and waiting for Dana to leave the water, Rodney climbs the ladder to the high board. Ed whispers to Amy, Junior, up there, is about ready to take a dive. Maybe it's time to swim laps. Amy whispers back, I agree. Amy then tells Ed, you've been reading Eddie, the freshman year. Ed asks Amy, how did you know? Amy replies, you're beginning to sound like Mark. Mark and Eddie call everyone who is less than skilled, junior. Ed replies, I guess you've been reading it too. Amy replies, I'm busted. I'm almost finished with it. Walking over to the lanes, Ed and Amy stop and watch as Rodney makes his approach. Rodney springs off the board and, attempting to do a somersault in mid-air, is unexpectedly greeted by the diving board on his way down. Amy yells out, man down. As Rodney crashes into the water, the lifeguard grabs his radio and notifies the administrative office, man down in the pool. Code red. From his platform, the lifeguard dives into the pool to perform the rescue. Ed tells Amy, that didn't go too well. Amy replies, yeah. I'd say. It just goes to show that stupidity is more dangerous than drinking or smoking. Amy tells Ed, let's go help out the lifeguard. He's way over his head. He can't handle this by himself. Towing Rodney, who is unconscious, the lifeguard approaches the side of the pool. Amy quickly rushes over to procure the aquatic backboard located on the wall behind the lifeguard station. Throwing the board into the water, Amy dives in and, with the aid of the lifeguard, immobilizes Rodney by strapping him onto the backboard. Taking control of the situation, Amy tells Ed, we're going to lower his feet, and I need you to pull him up onto the deck. Ed replies, got it. Amy and the lifeguard tilt the backboard and push as Ed pulls Rodney out of the water. Meanwhile, Dana does her part by standing around having a panic attack. Amy gets out of the water, followed by the lifeguard. Amy checks Rodney's vital signs and tells the lifeguard, well, he's still alive. He's all yours now. The lifeguard asks Amy, you seem to know exactly what to do. Are you a lifeguard? Stating her credentials, Amy replies, advanced open water. The lifeguard quickly realizes that Amy's qualifications are far beyond his own. Seeing the emergency team arrive, Amy and Ed head over to the lanes, letting the crash crew do their job. Ed mentions to Amy, I didn't know you were a lifeguard. Amy replies, yeah. That's my ace in the hole if I fail at everything else in life. Ed and Amy dive into an open lane and begin swimming their laps as Rodney is carried away. After the workout, Joe tells Ed, swimming is a great workout. I'll have to do this more often. And I sink in water now. Recalling his chemistry, Ed tells Joe, that's because your specific gravity is now greater than one. Joe energetically replies, I can see it now. You're all going to become chemists someday. Pete explains to Joe, that's good news. You sink now because your muscle mass is way up and your fat mass is way down. All that working out is paying off. Joe replies, that really is good news. After leaving the gym, Ed and Amy head straight to the vitamin store. On the way, Amy mentions, hey, we're not being followed. Ed replies, that's because the alcohol police is out of commission for a while. Amy tells Ed, Rodney wasn't looking very good when we got him out of the water. His head and neck hit the diving board pretty hard. That couldn't have ended too well. Ed mentions, I don't know what he thought he was doing. Amy tells Ed what she previously observed. He didn't even set the fulcrum and test the board. That's a dead giveaway that he's clueless. Arriving at the vitamin store, Ed tells Amy, we're here. Let's go in and get your stuff. It has been almost a week now since Amy began taking 5-hydroxytryptophan and mucunapurians, as Joe recommended. And Jenny, faithfully taking her supplement before she goes to sleep in the evenings, has been sleeping well for several weeks. Dana, fully recovered from her nervous breakdown, still thinks she has a chance of dating Ed. But what very few people know is, since Amy and Ed met, they have spent nearly every last waking moment with each other. Donna, likewise, still thinks she has a chance with Pete. Unknown to Donna, Pete and Jenny have also spent quite a lot of time together since the semester started. And Rodney, recovering from the serious concussion he received when his head hit the diving board, is trying to catch up on all the classwork he missed. Friday evening brings the weekly meeting of the Interdenominational Campus Fellowship. Arriving quite early for the meeting, Amy sits with Ed in the public area, waiting for others to arrive. Also, arriving early is Joe Sugarman. Wondering how Amy is doing since he found Amy's genetic issue, Joe takes a seat with Ed and Amy. Joe, who checked up on Amy earlier in the week, asks Amy, so, it's been about a week now. Are you still doing well? Amy explains, I am. I didn't realize how bad I was before. Thank you so much for finding that for me. Joe replies, it was my pleasure. I'm glad you're doing a lot better. Amy tells Joe, I told my sister about what you found. So, she started taking the 5-hydroxytryptophan and mucunapurians too. She's doing so much better too. Joe tells Amy, tell your sister to send you her genetic file. I'd be interested to see if she has the same problem as you. Amy replies, I can do that. Ed quietly announces, here comes trouble, as he sees Rodney heading straight for Amy and him. Briskly walking up and getting right down to business, Rodney asks Ed, have you been telling people that I have a secret? Messing with Rodney, Ed replies, which secret are you referring to? Rodney sighs and tells Ed, can you please stop it? What you're doing is not very Christian-like. Ed replies, stop what? What am I doing? Rodney replies, you're telling everyone that I have a secret. Again messing with Rodney, Ed replies, sure. No problem, steal. But it would really help if I knew which one of your secrets you are referring to. Realizing he is getting absolutely nowhere, Rodney asks Ed, and will you please stop calling me Steele? Ed replies, sure. No problem, Junior. Kind of ticked off at Rodney's attitude, Ed tells Rodney, by the way, Junior, the least you can do is thank Amy for helping to save your life. Looking quite puzzled, Rodney asks Ed, what are you talking about? Ed informs Rodney, Amy pulled you out of the water when you cracked your head open at the pool. But I guess you missed that when you got knocked out. Rodney emphatically tells Ed, she did not. Ed tells Rodney, how would you know, Junior? You slept through the whole thing. Looking Rodney straight in the eyes, Amy exclaims, wow. Dana, the queen of gossip, didn't tell you. I can't believe that. Ed looks at Amy and exclaims, wow. You're right. Dana didn't even tell him. Now wondering what the truth is, Rodney walks away, wishing that he had never confronted Ed regarding an unfounded rumor. Once Rodney is far enough away, Joe laughs and asks Ed, "Have you been reading the Eddie, the Mechanic series?" Before Ed can reply, Amy laughs and asks Joe, "How can you tell?" Joe replies, "Ed is beginning to sound a little like Eddie Boganskaya and Mark Svoboda." Amy laughs and tells Joe, "I've noticed that too. He's almost to the end of Eddie, the freshman year." Ed tells Amy and Joe, "I have no idea what Rodney was talking about. I haven't been telling anyone that he has a secret." Amy adds, "Rodney is getting seriously paranoid. He must have a really big secret." Amy then asks Joe, "Is there a gene that makes people paranoid?" Joe replies, "There are several genes associated with paranoia. But if I had to take a wild guess, I'd say Rodney hit his head a little too hard on that diving board. I heard the crash from my lane when I was swimming." Amy confidently tells Joe, "Minimally, he ended up with a concussion. If he's lucky, that's all he got." Brittany Kramer, Joe's girlfriend, takes a seat, joining the conversation. Brittany asks, "What's up?" Joe replies, "We were just talking about genes." Brittany tells the group, "They haven't found it yet, but Joe has the pizza gene." Amy laughs, commenting, "I must have the pizza gene too." Joe tells Amy, "You've been a lot more bubbly than I remember. I can see you're doing a lot better." Amy replies, "I am. Thank you so much for finding my problem." Pete and Jenny walk up, and it is time to go to the meeting. Amy asks Jenny, "Where have you guys been?" Jenny replies, "We ran up to the vitamin store, and I got another bottle of my supplement." Amy asks, "Like, in running?" Jenny replies, "Yeah. I have a whole lot more energy now that I sleep. I wanted to make sure I like had a backup bottle. I'd hate to go back to not sleeping again." Pete adds, "That wouldn't be good. Jenny has been doing really great in the last few weeks." The group takes a seat at the back of the room, waiting for the meeting to begin. During their wait, Amy asks Joe, "Can you tell what vitamins someone needs by looking at their DNA? Joe replies, "You sure can." Amy tells Joe, "Ed takes tons of vitamins. Now I'm wondering if all of those vitamins are really necessary." Ed tells Joe, "If I don't take them, I'm not at 100%. I think it's something in the B vitamin group, but I've never been able to quite figure it out." Joe asks Ed, "What do you take?" Ed replies, "A multivitamin and mineral, lots of B vitamins, amino acids, fish oil, choline and inositol, and a few other things." Joe offers, "If you want, I can take a look and see what's really necessary." Ed replies, "Sure. I'd really appreciate that." Ed emails Joe his raw genetic data, now wondering which vitamins he really needs. Rodney opens the meeting, announcing, "Okay, everyone. We're ready to get started." Everyone in the room gets quiet, and Rodney opens the meeting with a prayer. After his prayer, Rodney announces, "As some of you may already know, I had a little accident a while ago. I'm a little behind on my schoolwork, so if any of you want to give the talk over the next few weeks, there's a sign-up sheet on the table in the back of the room. Please feel free to sign up for a slot." Truth is, Rodney recognizes that his sermonettes are not well received while everyone else who gives a talk receives a standing ovation. The band takes the stage, starting their opening number. While everyone is singing, Jenny asks Pete, "Are we like getting pizza after the meeting?" Pete replies, "That seems to be our usual thing to do after the meeting recently." Jenny tells Pete, "Good. I'm starving." Pete reminds Jenny, "We ran 5 or 6 miles before the meeting. And you haven't eaten since lunch." Jenny replies, "Oh, yeah. That could like be part of it." During the second number, Amy walks over to the table, signing up to give the talk next week. Amy asks Ed, "Do you want to give a talk?" Ed replies, "Sure. Sign me up. Amy signs Ed up and, taking her place next to Ed, tells him, you're on in 3 weeks. That should give you enough time to think of something. What are you going to talk about? In quite a serious tone, Ed replies, how to extend your life expectancy by staying off the diving board. Amy starts laughing hysterically and has to leave the room. Suddenly concerned, Jenny asks Ed, what's wrong with Amy? Ed explains, nothing. She signed me up to give the talk in 3 weeks. Then, she asked me what I was going to talk about. So, I told her, how to extend your life expectancy by staying off the diving board. She started laughing and she couldn't stop. Jenny laughs and tells Ed, that is like seriously funny. Once Jenny calms down, she tells Ed, Amy has been doing so much better. I've never seen her this happy before. Hearing the music stop, Amy walks back into the meeting room. Standing next to Ed, Amy asks, what did I miss? Ed replies, Rodney is beginning his talk. He's speaking from personal experience tonight. His subject is choosing a sport to get you to heaven early. Amy starts laughing again, telling Ed, stop that. Rodney, distracted by the laughing in the back of the room, is wondering what could possibly be so funny. As Rodney speaks, Ed puts his arm around Amy, who lays her head on Ed's shoulder, not listening to a thing Rodney says. The band begins to play, waking Amy up from her short nap. Still half asleep, Amy whispers to Ed, I think I fell asleep. Ed replies, you did, sweetie. But you didn't miss too much. Ed and Amy stand and sing along with the group. Rodney then closes the meeting with prayer, and the group breaks up for the evening. After the meeting, Amy asks Joe and Brittany, you guys are coming with us to get pizza, right? Joe smiles and replies, sure. We'll join you. Brittany tells Amy, see. Joe definitely has the pizza gene. After socializing with a few of the other group members, Ed, Pete, and Joe head to the pizzeria with their girlfriends. At the pizzeria, the group takes a seat, deciding what to have for dinner. The only question is what will be on the pizza. Walking up to the counter, Jenny decides that, tonight, she is going to have a glass of wine with dinner. Taking a seat at the table after placing their order, Ed announces to the group, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms just walked in. Rodney, taking a seat a few tables away with Dana, Donna, Teresa, and the praise band, clearly takes notice of Jenny holding her glass of wine. Jenny comments, aren't we special? It looks like we're being stalked again. Amy, now caring little what others do or say, replies, yeah. By the paparazzi. We must be famous or something. Jenny smiles and replies, I know, right? Catching Rodney taking out his cell phone, Jenny runs her tongue along the rim of her wine glass, suspecting that Rodney is secretly taking a picture of her as he looks over the menu. As Rodney and his group walk up to the counter to place their order, Donna clearly takes note of Jenny and her wine glass. Instead of returning to her table with her group, Donna steps outside the pizzeria for a moment. Ignoring the group of Pharisees, Ed and his group enjoy a peaceful dinner. Toward the end of their dinner, Ed and his group see two police officers walk in and step up to the counter. Discreetly pointing to the counter, Ed jokingly tells Jenny, "You're busted." The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms called in for reinforcements. Coming to Jenny's rescue, Amy tells Ed, not half as busted as Rodney's head when he hit the diving board. Jenny laughs and replies, you know, there should be a sign on the diving board that like says, diving by stupid people can cause injury to the brain, kind of like the warning on a bottle of wine to pregnant women. Laughter breaks out among the group, clearly noticed by the police officers who are walking over to the table. The senior officer, Officer Michael Brown, announces, I hate to interrupt your dinner, but I need to see the ID of the young lady drinking the glass of wine. As Jenny takes out her ID, Officer Brown asks, has anyone else at this table been drinking? Replying for the group, Joe informs the officer, "No, sir." Jenny hands the officer her driver's license and college photo ID. Expecting Jenny to get busted, everyone at Rodney's table watches closely as the two officers examine Jenny's ID. Officer Brown tells his partner, "She checks out." Officer Brown announces, "Again, I'm sorry to interrupt your dinner. You guys have a good evening and stay safe." Walking up to the counter, Officer Brown tells the owner of the establishment, "She checks out, Tony." Tony, the owner, replies, "They've been in here a lot over the last 2 years. None of them have ever caused any trouble. They are good kids." The officer tells Tony, "Enjoy your weekend, Tony." Tony replies, "You too, Mike." Once the officers drive off, Jenny, sounding a bit ticked off, tells her group, "I'll be right back." Jenny walks over to Rodney's table, grabs Donna's phone off the table, holding it in front of Donna's face to unlock it. Trying to grab the phone from Jenny, Donna exclaims, "Give me my phone." Donna, however, is absolutely no physical match for Jenny. Neither is anyone else at that table, including Rodney. Quickly examining the outgoing calls, Jenny sees that Donna called 911 20 minutes ago. Quite angry with Donna, Jenny exclaims, "So, you called the police on me?" Donna exclaims, "You had no right to look at my phone." Jenny tells Donna, "So what? What are you going to do about it?" Tossing Donna's phone on top of her slice of pizza, Jenny walks away, again taking a seat with her group. Obviously ticked off, Jenny tells those at her table, "When Donna stepped outside earlier, she called the police on me for having a glass of wine. Can you believe that?" Pete replies, "She probably thought you were 20, like most of the other juniors." Joe asks Jenny, "How old are you?" Jenny replies, "I'm 21. I failed fifth grade because I kept falling asleep in class. And back then, I couldn't sleep at night, so I was up all night long. I couldn't keep up with my schoolwork, so they let me take fifth grade all over again." Amy comments, "That was really nice of them." Joe laughs and mentions, "Donna's math doesn't appear to be too good. There's probably a lot of 21-year-old juniors on this campus." As if one confrontation wasn't enough for the evening, Rodney walks over to Jenny's table, telling her, "That wasn't very nice of you, looking through Donna's phone like you did," and then tossing her phone onto her pizza. Attempting to thwart further confrontation, Ed tells Rodney, "We're eating dinner, Junior. Take a hike." Rodney emphatically tells Ed, "Please stop calling me Junior." Ed replies, "No problem, Steel." Now getting angry, Rodney exclaims, "And stop calling me Steel." Ed replies, "Sure. No problem, Junior." Amy interjects, "That concussion must have done way more damage than anyone suspected." Laughter breaks out at the table, perhaps hinting to Rodney that he should walk away. Not taking the hint that he should leave, Rodney admonishes Amy, telling her, "What you said wasn't very nice either. Can't you be nice?" Amy gets her cell phone out of her purse and begins taking a video of Rodney having a temper tantrum. Seeing what Amy is doing, Jenny takes out her cell phone and does the same. Ed tells Rodney, "Look, Junior. I told you to leave. So, why don't you go back to your table and take a few pictures of us eating?" Rodney becomes unhinged at Ed calling him Junior and feebly smacks Ed on his shoulder, exclaiming, "Will you please stop calling me Junior?" Ed stands up, throws Rodney over his shoulder, and carries him back to his seat. Rodney exclaims, "Put me down." Ed tells Rodney, "You got it." Slamming Rodney onto his chair, Ed tells those at Rodney's table, "Make sure Junior, here, doesn't bother us again. Next time, he won't be so lucky." Ed walks back to his table, hoping that Rodney behaves himself. Ed returns to his table, where Joe tells him, "We're going to have to start calling you Eddie, the mechanic." Taking a bite of pizza, Ed replies, "I really don't know what's wrong with Steel." Amy reminds Ed, "Rodney thinks you know his secret." Jenny comments, "That's right. I remember you guys saying something about that." Amy tells Jenny, "It must be eating him alive." Jenny replies, "Whatever his secret is, he could just confess it to the Lord and like be done with it." Joe, a little older and wiser, suggests he's unlikely to confess any sin that he's not ready to give up. He'll just keep on justifying it to himself. As the group is getting ready to leave, Joe asks, "What time are we meeting at the gym tomorrow morning?" Pete replies, "How about the normal 9 o'clock? Joe replies, "That sounds great. I think I might swim a few laps after hitting the weights." Finished with dinner, Ed and his group leave. On the way out, Amy waves to Rodney, telling him, "See you at the pool tomorrow."